I wonder if you have ever had to hand off something. I wonder if you ever had to hand over responsibilities, maybe at work, maybe in your life, maybe as a parent, as a grandparent. What did you have to hand off? What did you hand over? Do you relinquish responsibility for in your personal life or in your professional life? My name is Keith Harcom. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And this week we celebrate the birth of the church. It's the holy handoff. Now, we're not celebrating the birth of this church. We're not celebrating the birth of the Methodist Church, the Protestant Church, or the Roman Catholic Church, or the Orthodox Church. It's the whole church, apostolic church, that we are celebrating the birth of today. It's the holy handoff. It's the changeover from God, Jesus leaving the earth and ascending to the heavens, interceding for us, and him passing on that responsibility to us. The most watched sporting event in the Summer Olympics is the 4x100 relay. You watch it? Raise your hand if you watch it. Nobody watches it? Nobody watches it. A couple of people watch it. Well, it is the most watched, believe me. It's the most watched relay race in the Olympics. It's the most watched. And generally, it involves four athletes passing on a baton. Four athletes go around the track, a 400-meter track, and each athlete is lined up to receive this baton. And there's a whole philosophy and psychology of which athlete goes first, which one goes second, which one goes third, and which one goes fourth. Now, at the moment, the world record was set in 2012 by Jamaica, which is 38.42 seconds. It's the most thrilling 40 seconds of your life. If you've never watched it before, go watch it. It's amazing. And the women's world record holder, that's now at 40.12 seconds, is who? USA. Good job in the front down here. Yes, good job. Paying attention down the front. USA hold the record, also set in 2012. And there's a whole psychology of which athlete goes where. The first athlete has got to be fast off the blocks and ready to lift those knees nice and high as fast as they can get away to the next person. The second person has got to be fast on the straights. And the baton has got to be held in the hands all the time. There's a whole like ethos of whether we should catch it like this way, catch it like that way, catch it like this. And the person who gets the baton on the bend is normally a smaller person in stature because they can corner better. But the most interesting is the final athlete or the anchor athlete. Each athlete has 20 meters to receive the baton and take it and start running with it. And if they're outside of those 20 meters, then they're disqualified. But the most interesting position is the anchor athlete, the final athlete to receive the baton. And like I mentioned, there's a whole book and ethos on this. And Mariana Van Niekerk, she writes this book called Prepare the Mind for Competition. And inside this book, she says that the anchor athlete should be the one who thrives under pressure. Not your fastest, but the one who thrives under pressure is mentally adept to accept the baton in the last 20 meters of the race and still have the same mindset that he or she can win. The athlete is expectant, has an expectation that when they receive the baton and they see somebody ahead of them, they can still run. At this point in the game, it's not how strong they are, how fast they are. It is all in the brain. It's all about being expectant and having an expectation that they could win. As the Jews gathered in Jerusalem, they were expectant. They expected to hear from God. Now, Jews went every year to Jerusalem on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Passover and Pentecost, 50 days, Penti, 50, it was the one of three festivals, celebrations that they were had to go to. It was the law that they went to these festivals. So it was Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And these three celebrations the Jews had to go to. It was mandated. So every year they would go to Jerusalem and gather at Pentecost. And they were gathered there to hear from God in a new way. And at Pentecost, the priest, the rabbi, would celebrate two main things at this event. First was the fact that they had the law, that they celebrated that Moses got the law on Mount Sinai, and they celebrated that they had some guiding rules to how to live their lives. And the second was that they had a harvest, and they would pick up the bread, the two loaves, and they say, "Thank God we've got a harvest," and everybody would cheer that they had a harvest from the Lord. And those two things happened every year. So Jews went to Jerusalem to experience this event, Pentecost. And that's where we are in our scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 is where we are as we engage in the scriptures today. So if you've got a Bible in front of you, go there. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. So it's after the first four books of the Gospels, and it's the last one after that. So it's the fifth book in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. You've got a phone, open it. You could type in Acts 2, 1 to 13. So Luke is writing this gospel. And he says, on the day of Pentecost, it's a Jewish holiday, all of the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave this ability. So they all gathered expectant. They all gathered expectant to hear from God. And they're all in this one place. Now, the one place that they were in wasn't a tabernacle. It wasn't a great big church. It wasn't where all the Sanhedrin were gathered. They were gathered in a house. There was 120 of them gathered in this house, and they were waiting for God. So not only was there Jews there, there were also Jewish believers, Jewish followers of the way. So they were doing the Jewish thing and waiting to hear from Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah that day had been following, as you know, had died on a cross, been buried in a cave in a tomb, and 3 days later rose again and ascended into heavens. And he says, later, wait in Jerusalem, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Counselor. I will send you the Comforter. So they're waiting in Jerusalem, just like Jesus said to them to do. And as they wait there, they hear a windstorm. They hear the rush of wind. And Luke says when he looked around, it looked like everybody had fire on their head. It looked like everybody had fire on their head as the Holy Spirit anointed each of the people gathered there. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Now that word there is not glossolalia, which means utterances. The word there is language. The people there heard their own language as they spoke words of praise to God. So when people spoke, they hear the language of their country. As they gathered in this room, they hear these words. The writer goes on to say, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem for Passover. And when they heard the loud voice, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in their own native language." Devout Jews from all across the land were gathered in this one room. When they heard the noise, they went running to the noise. When they hear the cacophony of voices and cacophony of languages coming from that room, they went running. What did they go running to? Did they go running towards the great Sanhedrin that were gathered? Did they go running to the cathedral? Did they go running to the great big church that the Jewish people love so much? No. They went to the little home where 120 people were. They went running to hear the voice of God. They went running to hear something new and afresh that God was doing. They ran towards the voice of God. What's going on in there? What kind of voices are going on there? I can hear my own language. He says it again. Luke says it again. I hear my own language. And you know when you hear your language from wherever town you're from, wherever city you're from, when even like I'm English, I hear somebody English, like, oh, what are they saying? Where are they from? They know words that I know. And I go running, I drop on my priorities or whatever. And hey, where are you from? And that's what it was like. There was that joy at hearing somebody else hear their language in this place. They ran towards it. What's going on in there? I want to see what's going on. I can hear my language. And when they got in there, and I love these words that the writer used in Greek. In Greek, this word amazed is astonished and amazed is estimai and thamazo. And thamazo means they were in wonder, they were in awe, they were marveled at what they seen. And they looked around at each other, and they looked at the tongues of fire, they heard the voices, that they heard the language, they were marveled at what they seen. I don't know what they were singing. Maybe they were singing, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere." I don't know what they were singing, but they could feel it in their bones, and they were amazed. They were thamazoed at what they seen. And the people ran into this building, ran into this house. He says, these people are from Galilee. There's nothing in Galilee. It's to the north, around the Galilee district. These little towns and villages. God's not going to speak to those people, surely. These are Galileans. They're not real Jews. How come we hear our own language? How come we hear our own native language? What kind of people were there? What kind of people were gathered in this house? It goes on to say, who was there? Here's who was there. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene. Visitors from Rome. Ooh. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed, thamazoed, and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. People from all sorts of areas, Greeks, Romans, people that they're not meant to like, people that certainly didn't share any kind of familiarity with, people who were known to be oppressive. And yet they were marveled. And every tribe went running. Have you ever thought about it? Like, those people who were there might not have liked them. And it's not like the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, it was descending down and noticed that the people below were Egyptians. Whoa, stop, stop. You guys have an awful history of oppression. We are not going to fill you. Stop. See, come hovered over the English people. Whoa, you guys have a terrible history with slavery. No way. You guys are not going to be allowed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you're a Democrat. You're a Republican. Oh, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't say that. Holy Spirit didn't stop for your history. It didn't stop that because of the things you've done or the things you were known for in your country. He filled the people. Why? Because they were expectant, hoping to hear from God in a new and amazing way. And they were famazoed. They were amazed and marveled at what they seen. God decided to fill these people who are gathered here because they were expectant. And they heard their own language. They heard what praises of God were like in their own language from different people from other countries. And Jesus had said to them, wait for me in Jerusalem, and I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit, who is also called the Counselor. And the Counselor was in the house, amen? The Counselor was there filling the people, just like Jesus had said. The Counselor was there comforting and filling these people, ready to give them something that they could hand off. It was the holy handoff. God had given his message and his spirit to his people, and they had grabbed it, and now they were gonna run with it. The holy handoff was about to be complete. No matter where you're from, no matter what language you spoke, the only rule for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to take the baton was that you be expectant to hear from God. Doesn't matter if you've got your hand like this. Doesn't matter if you've got your hand like that. Doesn't matter if you're going to run with it weird. Doesn't matter if you're going to speak a different language when you communicate it. Only that you're expectant that God will do something in and amongst your life, in and amongst the people there. Now, before you think that, it would have been really nice to have been there. Before you think, how wonderful that sounds, Keith, and it's just like, yeah, it sounds great, but that's not really going to happen over here. Before you think that the people there must have had this amazing moment, and everybody was sitting around just saying how wonderful each of them were. It was so peachy and lovely, and everyone's holding hands, singing, come by, oh, my Lord. Read verse 13. What does verse 13 say? And this is like the birth of the church. This is the birth of the body of the believers. The reason we're sitting here today is because of this event. And verse 13 says, but others in the crowd, ridiculed them, saying, what? They're just drunk. They're smoking something. They're smoking something and nobody else is smoking on it. What the heck are they talking about? And they look around and they just can't believe what's going on. Unfortunately, some people just don't get it. Some people don't get what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it is to have the passion of the Holy Spirit in your life, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to look up to the Father as a source of strength. And they started making fun of them. He says, you're drunk. You're like, you guys are so messed up. In fact, some of these people take pictures of the event, distort it, and say that you were doing something else at that event. The keyboard warriors are all over you saying, oh, you guys are so messed up. Your church is messed up. And the people there in Acts, the people in Jerusalem on that day, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they weren't bothered about what the others were saying. They weren't bothered about those who were making fun of them, saying they were drunk or high. They weren't bothered about what they were saying, because they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that they just didn't care about the keyboard warriors and what they were saying. He says, we know that this comes to us, and we feel comforted, and God is at work in my life. And if you don't believe, then that's up to you. These people were so passionate about what has happened in their life that they had no time for those that were making fun of them. They had the ability to now hand over what they had been given. They had the ability to take in this Holy Spirit and hand it off to the next group of people. And through those group of people, we are sitting here now today because of this launch of the church. Because of this launch of the ecclesia, the church that we are so passionate about. And I know that because you wouldn't be here otherwise. And people went running to hear this message. What do you go running to? What do you get excited about that you run to and you'll pass on the baton to? I'm not talking physically running. What is it that you go run towards? You drop everything. It's a major priority in your life. You hear somebody speak in your language. You know somebody's around. You know there's a baby you want to see. You know there's a person you want to see. And you drop everything. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I want to go see that. What's the priority in your life today? What is it that you want to go running to? The Holy Spirit is at work in you and me and in our lives. The Holy Spirit started the church today 2,000 years ago. What is that a priority for your life? Is that something you want? Are you bothered about people making fun of you? Or do you want to be with 120 that get it? My hope is there's at least 120 in our church that get it, that understand what it is. And we need a fresh understanding of the Holy Spirit in our life today. Amen? We need a fresh understanding of the Holy Spirit in our church. And we've done church for the last 500 years, and things have changed. We've done church 1.3. We've done church 1.4. We've done church 1.5. We need a refresh. We need a church 2.0 in 2022. We need a church that's on fire. We're done with all the things that we've tried to do. We need to go back to the very thing that started the church 2,000 years ago, and that is an attraction, a go running towards the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is what launches our faith. This is what launches our church. And today, I want you to know that afresh. Today, I want you to see that anew in your life. Today, I want you to be a part of the holy handoff. God wants you to understand this in your own heart and your own head, so that you can hand that over to somebody else. But first, we have to experience the Holy Spirit ourselves. And maybe today you want to experience that anew. And I want you to know that today. And we're going to have communion today at these tables here. Pastor Kathy is going to help me. And in communion, we understand a holy handoff. Jesus told us to do two things. That's why we call them sacraments. He told us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Have bread and have wine to remember my body and my blood. John Wesley, the founder of our faith, founder of the Methodist Church, believed that at the altar, at the table, It could be a moment where you experience Christ anew or experience Christ for the first time. It's like a holy handoff. It's a time when you can think and experience Christ in a new way. And the night before, he said to his disciples, I'm going to send you the Comforter. He was sitting around a table with disciples for Passover, the very Passover that was 50 days before this event. And at this Passover event, they'd had food together, they'd already eaten together, and he passed around the bread that was left over. He passed around the bread that was left over, and he says, take, this is my body broken for you. And he passed this around the disciples, passed it around those that were there, gathered there. And after the supper was over, after they drank wine for this long event, he passed around another cup of wine. Only this one, he said to them, this is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the holy handoff, said Jesus. This is where you experience me and remember me afresh and anew. And I want you to experience that today. In fact, today when you have communion, we'll have some instructions about how to do that in a minute. But today, after communion, the kneelers are open. There's a place for you to spend some time. There's a space in our service where you can experience life anew. Jesus died so that you might live. He died that for our sins on the cross, and he went to the grave and rose again so that you might know this. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's a refresher. And if you, after communion today, experience a moment and you want to decide to give your life to Christ at that moment, you want to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, then tell us. Tell us and text follow to this number we'll put on the screen. Text follow and let us know, and we'll follow up with you and celebrate with you. But today, we're going to pray and we're going to ask that Christ's Spirit is in and amongst these elements. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sacrament of communion. We ask, Lord God, that this bread that we have broken, that this juice that we have given to you, that your Holy Spirit would indeed dwell in these elements, and you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, afresh, anew, and a new way that would show us, Lord, your presence in our lives. Fill this church, fill the church once again, Lord, so that we might know who we are following, that we might know a new expression of you in our lives. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.